Hello and welcome to The Writing Nest, brought to you by the Marlon Fitzwater Center for Communication at Franklin Pierce University. Today our guest is Celine. Celine, I understand you worked with Franklin Pierce University student Isabel on this project?
Yep, I did.
Good, I'm glad that was fun for you. Can you tell us a little bit about the story that you're going to be reading for us today?
Okay, it has four chapters and it's called Stuck in Space. And it's this girl that accidentally launches herself into space and can't get back.
That sounds great. Go ahead and read it for us.
Chapter 1, Stuck in Space. We entered the large building and I finally realized what it was. Rocket ships, games, statues of famous astronauts filled the large space station. I looked around in awe as the tour guide brought us through the halls of the Space Museum. We stopped to look at some pictures and something about space rocks, but I was looking at something different. Outside, a large window, past some planet models, was a humongous rocket ship. I stare. I don't know how long my eyes are stuck on the polished white metal sides and the pointed top of the rocket. The sound of my mom's voice shakes me out of my trance. She waves me over, calling my name, but it all now mushes together and sounds like mumbles. I have to get to that rocket ship, I think. My feet steer the way, and I start running towards the door. I tumble out to the fresh air, though I'm out of breath, but the cool air gives me the boost to go on. I round the corner of the space station and burst forward to the long ramp that led to the rocket. An open door greeted me to the ship. At last, my dreams are coming true. Only then they shatter when I see a rampage of people and space station workers bounding toward me. Panic fills my lungs. I run to the controls. So many. My fingers click and push an assortment of buttons. I pull the levers and there, smack dab in the middle of the controls, was the no gravity button. I was so anxious to get to the rocket to move somehow away from the charging pile of people that were yelling and screaming for me to stop. I saw a large red lever above me. Before I knew what I was doing, I pulled the lever. A loud rumble sounded from below me. Oh no, I shout, scrambling up to my feet. Too late. A countdown exploded from the speakers. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off. My back presses against the metal wall. Bags, packages, and equipment smashed down on the wall. It all happened so fast. The metal helmet hitting down on me. I see stars, then black. Wake up, Lydia, the voice swirls in my head. First it sounds like my mom, then my dad. Then I sit up, woozy. I feel sick. It wasn't anybody's voice but mine. I grip a pole as I stand up. I balance myself and walk to the controls, kicking a few boxes and bins along the way. I look in front of me. Stars, darkness, and shooting meteors whiz by. No, I shout. I'm about to figure out a way to blast this thing back to Earth or to find some sort of manual for the hundreds of buttons in front of me, but I see one particular thing that stops me short. Chapter 2, The Button of Destiny. There, smack dab in the middle of the controls, was the no-gravity button. I'd always wanted to see what happened when I pressed a button like that. I pushed the green button, and it made a bloop sound, and a robotic voice said, "No gravity." And before I know it, I'm raising off the ground and floating with everything that fell during takeoff. It feels like I'm flying in slow motion. I fly around for a while, and when that gets boring, I finally realize how huge a rocket ship is. I turn around and look at the metal door behind me. A dent is there from my blackout, but of course it still will work. There's a large handle, which looks more like a pirate ship steering wheel, that can open the door. I float over and start turning it. A loud, ear-splitting grind of metal rubbed against each other sounds the room. I almost hit my head again when the large door slams open. A row of seats and boxes line the wall. There are windows so you can see the outside. There's a yellow rug on the floor, apparently bolted down because it wasn't floating. I smile. Blue paint lines the walls, and there's floating pink pillows everywhere. Something tells me that this is a living room. I turn more creaky handles and explore more of the spaceship. I float through a kitchen and find the bathroom. I'm on my way to the bunk room, or whatever that sign says, on one of those pesky doors, when a warning beep, 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 beep sounds. Red lights flash, and I look out the window. We're coming close to some sort of... Oh, wait. I know what that is. It's a big planet. The moon. Panic fills my lungs again. I kick and flail in the air. I kick a box full of kitchen utensils and a box of tennis rackets. The ship turns to one side, and the tennis rackets and kitchen utensils head straight for the window. Crash! A kitchen knife scrapes the clean, clear window. A long scratch is left over. But that's not all. The tennis rackets make a sound so sickening, I think it just beat the pirate ship handle doors. More knives, spoons, and an assortment of large and small forks slam down, too. Then I see it. The biggest of them all. The frying pan. It cuts through the air and crashes into the window. Crack! The whole window comes crashing down. The warning noise blares louder. I scream as everything gets sucked into space. The force is so strong it opens the creaky doors and all that gets sucked out too. Even the bolted rug. I'm next, I thought. My only hope was the cabinet in front of me. I open the doors. They fly off in an instant. My feet dangle out in space. I can't breathe. I hold my breath and pull with all my might to get into one side of the used-to-be cabinet. Oh, finally, air at last. At least I can breathe in here, I think. Then, minutes later, miraculously, a new sheet of glass rolls over the broken one, and fans of oxygen fill the room. It seems like nothing happened, but something really did. I calm myself down a bit and try to process what happened. I lost my shoes, and my braids were pulled out, and the elastics were sucked into darkness. I floated out of the used-to-be cabinet. I opened the creaky doors, that's not so creaky anymore, and looked in. Nothing except the shelves. Same with the next room, and the next. Just nothing. I get to the control room. Nothing is there except the controls, the seats, and nothing else. I should have not hit that no-gravity button and saw what happened. I float over and hit the button again. I fall to the ground, but something else does too. A banana! I laugh. I laugh my head off at the silly thing. Who needs a banana at a time like this? Chapter 3, The Banana That Saved My Life. I kick the banana to the side and sit in a seat that was in front of the controls. I hit a few buttons and push a few levers, and nothing exciting happens. I keep experimenting with the buttons until another warning blare sounds on. What now, I think. I look at the controls and hit a button that says View. A large screen that looks kind of like a TV comes in the front of the window. It shows the rocket ship getting closer to the moon. I'd seen that before, but I had not realized it because of the whole window fiasco. I look closer. We're heading straight for it. I had no equipment, and we're going to crash. Then I remember the banana. I guess it's my only hope. I kick the window, beside me hard. Crack, then I kick it again. Crack. I punch it with my fist. Crash. The window breaks, and the space tries to suck me in. But this time, I'm prepared. I dangle outside holding my breath. Now I'm actually glad I do swim. I'm grasping the controls chair and holding the banana. The moon gets closer and closer. I let go with one hand, the hand with the banana. I rear my arm back as far as I can and thrust the banana at the moon. The banana acts as a boomerang and hits the moon, and whizzes back and hits the rocket ship. The moon goes flying backwards, and so do I, and the ship. The banana floats under my feet, and I grab it with my toes. I backflip into the ship, and again, a new sheet of glass covers the broken one, and oxygen comes from the fans above. I feel like a ninja more than an 11-year-old girl named Lydia Cleaver. I smile and eat the banana as a reward. I sit down on the control seat, aim the ship for Earth, and zoom in to find Berry Brook, Texas. Then I buckle up, pull the lever that says low, high, and blast. I push all the way to blast, brace myself, and I fill my head with thoughts of home. Chapter 4, Home. I'm about to crash into my house when I press the parachutes button, and I only break a window. I giggle. Third window broken today. I tumble out the door and I run into the house. Mom and Dad are in the living room. Jaws dropped when I say their names. Mom, Dad, I shout. They run towards me and nearly hug me to death. Mom looks like she had been crying, and Dad was trying not to. Mom at first scolds me, then scolds me about how I lost my new shoes and how I had a snarl for hair. But then she just left it. Then the three of us walked into the kitchen so I could have a snack and so I could tell them the wild story about how I was stuck in space.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of The Writing Nest, brought to you by the Marlin Fitzwater Center for Communication at Franklin Pierce University.